Good morning. We are on Chapter 19, The Infinite Invisible. Infinite Invisible, that's the name that Joel gave to the presence. There's one more chapter after this. Hopefully we'll finish that next week, and we will have completed our study of The Master Speaks. So Joel begins with this. Meditation is our preparation for the inflow of the Spirit. It is the period during which we realize our oneness with the infinite. That realization gives us the very presence of Spirit itself with which to face the day. We have been inclined to believe that since God is omnipresent, always and everywhere present, that is all there is to spiritual living and to the assurance of God's being at hand. But any such assumption is contradicted by a study of the history of the world. The omnipresence of God is of no avail to anyone, except in proportion to his conscious oneness with it, his conscious attunement, his conscious feeling and realization of it. Without that, we go out on the street as human beings. We may reach our destination, or we may not. We may catch cold, or we may not. We may get sick, or we may not. All these things are happening to people all over the world. But they are happening to people because they are going out into the world without making a conscious contact with the infinite source, with the infinite power. The promise is, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells there, he who lives and moves and has his being in spirit, is protected from the so-called evils of the world. Pray without ceasing. Go into the inner sanctuary, and there find your communion or oneness with God. A study of Scripture on the subject of prayer will show you how important prayer is, and then a study of modern metaphysical writings will show you the nature of prayer. I suppose we know more about prayer in this age than did most of those who were responsible for writing the Bible. At least, we know more about how to reveal the nature of prayer. Many of them may have known about true prayer within their own being, but their concept of prayer, praying to God for something, has not done the world much good. The modern idea of prayer, which is individual communion with God, is what might be called effective prayer. In some of the Orthodox churches today, the metaphysical idea of prayer is to be found. There are more modern thinkers in the Orthodox Church today than there ever have been before, just as there are more people in the world today who really believe in the possibility of conscious communion with God. What is that, conscious communion? Communion, of course, is common union. And so when you go into your temple with the attitude, thy will be done, then you may come into the actual feeling of the presence. during that prayer. Thy will be done, not mine. Conscious communion, conscious, you're consciously aware of your common union. Conscious communion with God is pure mysticism. The word mysticism frightens some people because they do not understand its true meaning. However, when the word is correctly understood, there is nothing strange or disturbing about it. A mystic is one who consciously tunes into God. So that would be all of us, wouldn't it? Hence the name of the website, Mystical Principles. A mystic is one who consciously tunes in to God, who consciously receives impartations from the Father within. And a mystical teaching is any teaching which sets forth the possibility of individual communication with God, or communion. Individual communion with God, the ability to receive impartations from God. Modern prayer, prayer as we know it today, is conscious oneness with God. Anything that will bring about our realization of conscious oneness, anything that will bring the actual spirit to our consciousness, is prayer and meditation. Our meditation is a quietness, a stillness, a state of receptivity, in which we open our consciousness to the impartation of the Spirit. Then, when the Spirit answers, when we receive the impulse that gives us that sense or awareness that God is present, the Spirit which we have touched lives our lives. When the three Hebrews went through the fiery furnace, a fourth was there with them. That fourth was the Christ, or conscious presence of the Spirit of God. If the three Hebrews had not been consciously aware of the presence of God, there would have been no presence of God visible or tangible. It was their consciousness of the presence that was their protection. Moses was conscious of the presence of God, and that consciousness was shown forth as manna from the sky, the opening of the Red Sea, and water from the rock. Always remember that I can of mine own self do nothing, but the presence of God with me can do all things. I and my Father are one, but my Father is greater than I. To one imbued with the presence of God, all things are possible. Whether it is healing or supplying or protecting, all things are possible. However, to rely solely on the blind belief that God will do something, or that somewhere out there in space there is a God to do it, well, that is a dangerous thing. But if you ever feel, actually feel the presence and power of God, then all that God is right where you are. Without understanding this, you have only a faith or a belief, and usually it is a blind faith in God's presence. There must be a conscious awareness of the presence of God in order to have available the power, activity, safety, and security of God. All right. We have been over this time and time again. The purpose for meditation is that you may be consciously aware of the presence within you. And without, it's within and without. It's omnipresence. Again, if you are not consciously aware of something, then all you have is a blind faith. You have no experience. All right, so to get that experience of the presence of God, you must go into your inner temple, down to the center of your being, and there rest. Take no thought. Do not stress. Do not worry. I, the presence of God, am with you. I, the presence of God, will never leave you nor forsake you. I, the presence of God, will live your life. If you allow me, if you invite me, that's the whole secret. To invite the presence of God. If you invite the presence will come in and sup with you. I know we all approach truth because we want something. That's how it starts. Oh, I can't get rid of this bronchitis. And so we turn to truth. Oh, my rent needs to be paid and I'm out of money. I've got like 50 cents in the bank. And so we turn to truth. I don't know what's wrong. I just can't seem to get along with my wife. Or my husband, if you're that way. It is our conscious awareness of truth that acts as our saving presence throughout the day. That is the unseen fourth one. The infinite invisible will be with you always in your conscious awareness, in your consciousness of the presence. Meditation is one way of realizing the presence of God, and at first it is almost the only way we have. But after you have made your contact and have had your first awareness of God's presence, after that has been repeated over and over many times in your meditation, you finally come to a place where God virtually is never absent or apart from you. I mean by that that you are never outside of that conscious awareness. What a wonderful statement that is. You're never outside of your conscious awareness. And so conscious awareness of the presence is pretty darned important, isn't it? It's the whole thing. Well, then how do you become conscious of the presence? Sometimes it's a long journey. Sometimes you just close your eyes the first time to meditate and you feel it. Some of us have centuries of universal world beliefs that we've entertained. If you believe in reincarnation, then it's possible that you were a sailor back before there were, you know, modern ships. You were a sailor, maybe even a pirate. But you lived your life as that. And then maybe you came back and you became a baker. And you had a little bakery in your hometown. Well, again, you'd learn other things. All the time you're believing you're a pirate, you're believing you're a baker. Maybe you become quite wealthy. You have servants. You have a main home. And then you have little cottages by the sea. But the point is, you believe you own this property. You believe you are well-to-do. And that's another life. And so on and on it goes. You believe you're this, you believe you're that. One time you believe you're male, one time you believe you're female. And on it goes. All the time you are winding this belief tighter and tighter. Now you come into this incarnation, and for some reason, I guess because you were seeking, you discover the infinite way. Maybe one of the books, 55, 60 years ago, I went to South Pasadena in California to the Green Hotel. In one of the back rooms, there was tapes being played of Joel Goldsmith. And we all went there and listened to the tapes. I was really young, you know, 17, listening to these tapes. Yes, Joel Goldsmith has been my companion for 50 or 60 years. Okay, so let's continue. Establish and maintain your conscious oneness. How many times must he repeat that? Conscious awareness, conscious oneness, conscious communion. Another word on the subject of meditation. You may be meditating for yourself, or it may be for a friend or a patient. Will you remember this? If you want to help someone with any problem he may have, when you sit down to meditate, immediately forget that individual. Drop the name of the person or the specific claim, and in your meditation, turn within to make this contact with God. Do not think of the patient. Do not think of his problem. Think only of your own contact, and then drop the case right there. That touch, that contact with God, is the presence of God, working in or through or upon the problem to bring out the harmony of its being. Your contact is the presence that goes out to make the correction. And whether the patient is sitting in the room with you or whether he is on the other side of the earth makes no difference. You do not have to direct your thought to the person or the problem. My conscious oneness with God constitutes my oneness with all spiritual being and idea. When I meditate, I am not thinking of anyone individually or collectively. I sit and make my contact with God. I feel the response. I feel that touch of the infinite. I feel the whole surge of spirit flowing through me. But notice this. That contact with God is also the contact with you individually and collectively, since in God we are all one. As an example, we may use the telephone system. He brings that up a lot. In order to reach someone, he has to go through central office. Never do I have to project a thought toward you. Never do I have to inform infinite consciousness of your problem or what the solution would seem to be. No, all I have to do when you have said to me, help me, is to tune in to the one consciousness, that one consciousness which is infinite wisdom. It knows the who, the what, the why, the wherefore, and the how. So try that for anyone with a problem that comes up. Just meditate. Find your oneness. And as soon as you feel that answer, release the whole thing and let it go. Then see what wonderful ways God has of working out your problem, whether the need is a sum of money or a ticket on the railroad. Whatever it is, tune into the infinite, but do not tell the infinite that you need money or a ticket. It may turn out that the infinite knows that you need something else, or that you are to go in another direction. Sure, instead of needing a ticket, someone may come up to you and say, I'm going to Northern California. Would you like to ride with me? And now you no longer need a ticket, because you've got a ride, and a ride with an infinite way student. You see? And so our little outlines and plans, they're wrong. The infinite, however, is always right. Now, the healing of mind, body, soul, spirit, business, and human relationships is an important part of our work. And this method of healing is, in the final analysis, the highest way. We have been all through the mental processes of treating, but remember that this is the final step that really does the work. After all, the treating has been done. This is the final step that does the work after all the treating has been done. Establish and maintain your conscious oneness, and everything you need will flow automatically to you. As a rule, before you know that you have need of it. We on the spiritual path are not interested in just the normal, natural human health and success. The health, wealth, and success that we want, the harmony, peace, and joy, are those which we attain through the Spirit, through God. We bring this to our experience through the activity of truth in our consciousness. Now, we've been over this before. The activity of truth in your consciousness is not the words that you rehearse. It's not the statements of truth. It's not your treatment. Nope. The activity of truth, well, Christ says, I am the truth. And so the activity of truth in your consciousness is the activity of I, the truth. So it's not a statement of truth, it's not a scripture. It's the actual I of your being, moving, living, and having its being in God. The most important moment in your life is when you make a conscious contact with God. Nothing will ever come into your life greater than that moment. A realization of your conscious oneness with God will be the supreme demonstration, the crowning achievement of your experience. We are told that kings and emperors would have given all their earthly possessions for this realization. They would, but they could not achieve it, because their whole thought was on the world of power, money, place, position, and honor. Everything that has to do with the external world, and God is not reached that way. Yes, I've been watching Fox News, and the commercials they have are for upcoming shows, the life of Paul, the life of Peter, the life of Jesus. And I've noticed they all have to do with what happened out here. But none of these shows covers the internal experience. None of these shows covers within, what happens within. None of these shows covers conscious union with God. Why? Because they don't know it exists. They're unfamiliar with the within, but very familiar with the without. Before you retire, Joel says, sit down quietly in meditation and consciously feel this presence. Now, if after 5, 6, or 7 minutes you have not achieved the realization, forget it. Go to bed. If you should wake up in the middle of the night, try it again at that time. Because once you have accomplished it, you have entered an entirely new experience. You have entered a whole new plane of consciousness. Yes, and in that new plane, you experience a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a new self. Everything is new when Christ has entered in. Once you have accomplished it, you have entered an entirely new experience. You have entered a whole new plane of consciousness. And this fourth dimension is the infinite invisible. The fourth dimension is the transcendental, that which no one can ever know through the senses, through seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, or smelling. It is literally the secret place of the Most High, and that place is found in your consciousness. So the secret place of the Most High is at the center of your being, and you may enter it any time you will. Effects of conscious oneness. When you have touched this presence, when you have felt it, you can give up all concern, all worry, and all fear for the rest of your life. All of your worries are behind you. You have found Aladdin's lamp. But this is better than Aladdin's lamp, because you will not even have to wish. As a matter of fact, you will not even have to know what it is you want. You just sit in silence, touch that presence. It responds, and it literally tells you, I am here. I am on the field. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you walk through the waters, you will not drown. If you go through the fire, the flames will not kindle upon you. If you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not a bit of death will touch you. Walk through all the valleys you like. My presence goes before you. My presence is with you. To read that is lovely, inspiring. To experience that presence is the answer that you've been seeking. All of these things we see out here in this belief of a world, well, just in my vision, I see books, I see a bedspread, I see shirts, I see magazines, I see a book on Thomas Jefferson, I see a soda, I see a cup full of coins, I see a printer, I see two monitors, I see a weather station, I see a guitar, I see a picture of Christ Jesus, I see a hat rack, a dresser with an oval mirror in the back. All of these things, and we fiddle with these things, and we have lifetime after lifetime trying to get these things in order. And we have lifetime after lifetime trying to collect things. All right. To continue, remember, you have that assurance only when you have made your contact with it. When it responds and you feel that click in your system, that energy that rushes in, or the still small voice, or whatever way it has of responding. To each one of us, it is something different, and sometimes it is different each day. Yes, if you always experience the presence as in a certain way, do not try to duplicate that. You have to remain open so that however it reveals itself today, you can be consciously aware of it. And it sometimes doesn't do the same thing twice. If you make this contact, let us say in the morning, before you leave home, you can rest assured that your contact with it, God, is your contact with everything necessary to your unfoldment for that day. If it is a person, he will be there. If it is a place or a thing, it will be there. If it is a healing, if it is harmony, if it is joy or peace, or if it is a parking space, whatever it is, whatever the form in which it has to appear to you, it will be there. Your conscious oneness with it constitutes your oneness with every it that is necessary to your experience. But remember, it comes only as the activity of your own consciousness. Again, truth entertained in consciousness is not entertaining some or rehearsing some scripture. It's not even rehearsing what was imparted to you yesterday. It's not rehearsing anything. After your rehearsing is done and you sit in the silence, then God can reveal itself, can reveal its presence to you. And you consciously feel it. And that consciously feeling is what is meant by conscious oneness with God. Do you understand now that when a practitioner is asked for help, it is the consciousness of the practitioner that does the work? Do you understand that it is not some far-off God Do you understand that it is nothing more nor less than the consciousness of the practitioner, the consciousness of a practitioner who knows his oneness with God, and thereby has lost all hate, fear, or love of error? You say, who could love error? Well, all of us. Have you ever come across a person of the opposite sex from you that is so beautiful, so charming, so peaceful, that you just want to get next to that person? Well, there are no persons on earth. We covered that. Persons on earth are concepts, universal concepts. And so to try to get close to a person means that you are hypnotized. Right there is the presence of God, but you're seeing a person, whether good or evil. All right, so we want to see through the image of a person, and behind that, the presence of Christ. When we see that behind the image, well, then the image conforms to the pattern revealed to you on the mount, the mountain of consciousness. So, Joel says, in the degree that your practitioner has consciously touched the presence, in the degree that your practitioner neither hates, fears, or loves error, in that degree will healing take place. If that were not true, if it were some outside force or power doing the healing work, you could ask any practitioner for help and get the same results. But by now, we all know that you must have a practitioner who has some measure of the consciousness of the presence of God, who has in some degree lost the fear, hate, and love of error, and that practitioner's consciousness, which is God consciousness, does the healing work. It will not do any good to ask the man in the street for help, unless he too is a student of this work, because his consciousness is not imbued with the Christ. He could say from morning until night, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. And it would be meaningless. But the moment he is aware of it, he begins to show it forth by his healing works, by the bringing out of harmony and peace around him. It is worthwhile, even if you have to practice this awareness of God for 6 months or a year before you attain it. Because remember, when you have attained it, you will have solved every problem of existence. One by one, all the problems of human existence will fade away. Oh, it may not be that you will wake up some morning and find that you are completely in heaven, but at least you will find that you are on the road to heaven, and that bit by bit, errors are disappearing, and problems are being solved without too much anxiety and trouble. The good things of life are being experienced without any effort at all, without taking thought for what you shall eat or what you shall drink or wherewithal you shall be clothed. A conscious realization of the presence of God. That's the whole secret right there. Many students become so involved in the functional duties of a metaphysician that they forget to make their conscious recognition of God, to make themselves a law unto their experience each day. I have never permitted myself, even for a day, to forget my work. I consciously remember, not always in the same way, because I have no formula for it. But when I start out the day, and usually this takes place even before I am out of bed, and if not then, soon after, when I am sitting in a chair, I begin with the conscious realization of the word, I. Remember we said that I is that presence? I is God. I is infinite good. I is consciousness, life, being. This I is the I that I am. And because of all that I am all that God is. I am all that the Father hath is mine. All the wisdom, the guidance, the direction, spiritual love, spiritual life, spiritual soul, all of the love of God and of man, all that God knows of love constitutes the love of my being. When you have conscious oneness, when you have the conscious awareness of this presence. God is the activity of my day. God is the activity of my work, and therefore, it is God, the infinite wisdom, which is outlining my day's program. It is the one intelligence operating universally which brings to my desk whatever is necessary for me to do. I know that the very presence of God, soul, or consciousness that formed me has saved out for me all of my activity and all of its fruitage, all of its reward. I know that because of this truth, I am never dependent on man whose breath is in his nostrils. I am never dependent on the goodwill of any man, woman, or child. All my good flows from within to without. That's a good, I like that line. All of my good flows from within to the without. The kingdom of God, of wholeness, harmony, is within me, and in the degree of my understanding of that, I can multiply loaves and fishes for all those who are not yet aware of the fact that they also are a law of multiplication. I realize also that because God is infinite, my being is infinite, since I and the Father are one. Therefore, in this infinity of being, I include all of God's good, and because of that infinity, there is no room for error or evil or negation of any sort. Therefore, there are no laws to act upon me. God is the law unto my being. God is the divine principle of my being, and therefore, that law is a law unto my universe. Nothing outside of me, whether of the past, present, or future, can act upon me as law, even for good. Nothing existing in the realm of effect can act upon me or upon my affairs as law, since God is the only lawgiver. God, the divine consciousness of my being, the very soul of me, is the only law unto my experience. Therefore, regardless of what the world may call the law of cause and effect, the law of karma, regardless of what the world may call the law of the stars and the planets, or what do they call that? Astrology. None of that is a law unto my being, for good or evil, since my good is derived from the infinity of my own being, which is God. I lean not unto my own understanding, or on the understanding of any man. I lean on the infinity of God, pouring itself through as my individual being. Think of that. Take that into meditation. The infinity of God is pouring itself through as my individual being. The infinity of God is my individual being. Okay. I and the Father are one. Therefore, in this infinity of being, I include all of God's good. I know that this power of love, which is God, is a law of attraction, and therefore can only attract to me those whom I can love and those whom I can serve. Because God is a universal law of love, only love is expressing through everyone on earth. Therefore, all men throughout the world, not only throughout the world, but throughout what we call the world of those who have passed on, and the world of those who have not yet been born, all those become a law of love and of life unto my being. Our protective work is not hiding ourselves in a shell somewhere and saying, "Error, you cannot touch me, cannot reach me." No, our protective work is the realization of God as individual mind, life, and soul, but the life, mind, and soul of all beings. We realize that God governs not only my driving, but that God sits at every wheel. God is the only automobile driver anywhere in the world, or airplane pilot, or sea captain. Establish that in thought every day. Establish in your consciousness the great truth that God is the only presence and the only power, and that all this human belief in a self apart from God is illusion, without presence, substance, law, reality, cause, or effect. Establish this. If you do not establish it, do not expect to demonstrate it. It's hard work in the beginning. Importance of daily realization. In this work, you must learn that it is the activity of your consciousness that brings forth your demonstration. Now, the activity of your consciousness, you cannot direct that. The activity of your consciousness is something that imparts itself to you. It imparts the realization of its presence to you. You don't make it happen. You let it happen. Even though it is not necessary for me to take thought about supply, it seems to be coming in its own accord sufficiently to take care of all my needs. Nevertheless, I never see money without thinking, "Thank you, Father. I know the source, the infinite source of this good, and I know the purpose and use of that which appears as its effect." Always, sometime, each day, I give recognition to that, and I am confident that this conscious awareness of truth is the activity that comes forth as manifestation and expression. Again, let us realize this. There is no such thing as truth and manifestation. The truth you consciously entertain does not produce a manifestation of good. No, the truth you entertain in your consciousness appears as your good. The truth you consciously entertain in your consciousness appears outwardly, tangibly, visibly as your good. There is no such thing as truths producing opportunity. There is no such thing as truths producing health. The truth entertained in your consciousness invisibly appears visibly as health, wealth, harmony, happy relationships, peace, joy, and dominion. This is extremely important. There cannot be both truth and manifestation because of oneness. Yes. There is truth entertained in your consciousness appearing visibly as manifestation. If you are not entertaining the truth of being in your consciousness, you cannot have the manifestation, because truth and manifestation are inseparable and indivisible. They are one. It is up to you how much of demonstration you have. Whether the demonstration is one of money, companionship, home, success, regardless of what it is, it does not make any difference what business you are in or what your activity is. The success, the harmony, the peace, and the joy will be there, and it will be there infinitely. If only you will entertain infinite truth actively in your consciousness. That truth which is entertained in secret appears visibly. Truth entertained as the activity of consciousness appears visibly. Truth entertained as the activity of consciousness also appears as the visible, tangible manna of today. We do not live on yesterday's manna. There's nothing wrong in using what we have accumulated in the past, either money or reputation, but it is not necessary. Each day is a unit unto itself. Each day is a day unto itself. If you were to begin today with nothing, nothing tangible or visible, and if you entertain truth consciously, that truth would soon appear as your need fulfilled. So, never be concerned about the things you had yesterday, but do not have today. Never be disturbed over the opportunities of the past that you have missed. Never be concerned for the years that the locusts have eaten. Do not be concerned even for the years of your past sins or your wasted youth. Do not even regret that you did not know this truth 10 years ago. Today is the only day in which you live. You cannot live yesterday, and it is a waste of time to try. You cannot live tomorrow, because strangely enough, none of us ever sees tomorrow. It is always today. And it is always this minute. And it is always this minute in which I am the fulfillment of God. It is always this minute in which God is appearing infinitely as my individual being. Therefore, my individual being must be infinite, huh? That is all I have to be concerned with. All I have to be concerned with is the joy, peace, and harmony and dominion of this minute. And if I live continuously in this consciousness, in this minute, then each minute that follows will be just as successful and joyous as this one. It will be a steady and continuous unfoldment of good. All right, do you see the purpose of this chapter, the infinite invisible? There are so many things that he goes into in just a sentence or two, which brings us right back within ourselves. This is the man pointing at the moon, but we do not look at the finger. We do not look at the individual things that we must do. No, we only have one thing to do. Become still and rest there until you feel the waters move over the face of the deep. You feel a movement inside over your consciousness. You feel the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the presence of the living God. And that's the only thing that you have to do. Be consciously aware of that presence. However, in order to be consciously aware, we have to find that silence within. We have to find an absence of self, which is the true silence. And into that vacuum, God pours itself. You don't even have to ask. By the very act of emptying out, you're saying to God, fill me with yourself. And God does. The infinite God becomes your individual experience. And you say, oh, today was a wonderful day. I found myself in the right place at the right time. And everything seemed to fall into place. I opened the door by consciously feeling the presence. And then all throughout the day, that presence was with me, opening each door for my experience. It's a wonderful way to live. Kids, it's really wonderful. I highly recommend it. You must rehearse the truth as you understand it, or as it's been presented. Maybe something like, I and the Father are one, or greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Or, I go before you to prepare a place for you. And you know these with your mind. However, it doesn't do any good to just stop there. Yes, you need to stop, and you need to listen. And you must be receptive for your Father's voice. Now, your Father's voice may not be a voice. It may be a very strong feeling of a presence with you. However it reveals itself, it's right for you. Please don't ever compare your insides with someone's outsides, because you'll always come up short. No, don't do any comparing at all. Let your Christ reveal itself to you. Thank you. This is the next to the last talk. Not forever, but on this book. There's one more chapter, chapter 20. For next week, and it is Truth Unfolding. Nice. That's what happens after you make the contact. Truth is unfolding. Thank you. You pulled this talk out of me, and any realizations along the way is your fault. Okay. That brings us to 1 hour, and I suppose that we are finished. The talk today is complete. Thank you, and many blessings.